going to move on to the next case of the day, and that is appeal number 03-1037, Barry Hackner versus the long-term disability plan for employees of the Hobby Group. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mr. Murday. In this case, Barry Hackner was punished for his motivation to return to work. But as this Court found more than 30 years ago in a Social Security case titled Bartell versus Cohen, which is reported at 445 Federal Reporter 2nd 80, 445 Federal Reporter 2nd 80, plaintiff's attempts to find a job are relevant only to her motivation and not to whether she was in fact disabled. In this record, Barry Hackner had a condition, had a number of conditions, which were all shown to be degenerative physical conditions. He wasn't going to get better. Hartford made a decision in 1999 that Barry Hackner was disabled for physical reasons. Initially, the claim started as a mental impairment claim, but the claim transformed while it was initially in progress to a physical disability claim. And then in April 2000, the plan made a second decision that Barry Hackner was totally disabled based on the evidence that was submitted. The last medical report that is in this file is a report from Dr. Paloutsis from August of 2000. When benefits were cut off in October of 2000. That report indicated that Mr. Hackner remained disabled. That report is in the record at page 325, the document date stamped plan 0325. And in that report, Dr. Paloutsis said that although he believes that Mr. Hackner is a rehab candidate and not a candidate for further surgery, he goes on to say he needs to be treated as chronic pain syndrome patient with medications with prolonged rehabilitation program. Although the plan later asserts that Dr. Paloutsis deferred to Dr. Hudgens for his opinion, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the page state stamped plan 30, that deference was given by Dr. Paloutsis' secretary. I sincerely doubt that if I had a secretary from my office call a disability insurer and say that she had spoken to a treating physician and that physician indicated that my client was disabled, that the insurance company would accept that as substantive evidence. Nor should this court accept Dr. Paloutsis' statement given through his secretary, if that indeed was his statement, as evidence that would rebut the fact that Mr. Hackner remained disabled.
Mr. Dubofsky, does the record contain any complaints of pain in sitting that were recorded prior to the denial of benefits?
Absolutely. The statement given to Hartford's investigator, which is in the record at plan 0342, indicates Mr. Hackner's complaints that it was too painful to sit in a chair and trouble sleeping. He also indicated that while he was doing some of these computer repairs that Hartford makes out to be a full-blown consulting job, that he told Hartford candidly he does that because he hoped to return to work someday, and he did not want there to be a gap in his resume. There was never any consulting work that Mr. Hackner was engaged in. Based on this record and based on the quote that I read from Dr. Paloutsis' record from October of 2000, this case is on all fours with its decision in the Govindarajan case, where in that case, similar to this case, there was a report from a physician that indicated that the claimant needed rehabilitation before he was able to return to work. There was absolutely no contrary evidence subsequent to that last medical report which justified Hartford's decision in October of 2000 that Barry Hackner was capable of returning to work.
What about Dr. Jaffe?
Dr. Jaffe is Mr. Hackner's internist. Dr. Jaffe had treated Mr. Hackner for the flu, for colds, for minor aches and pains. Dr. Jaffe's records are not in this claim record. Dr. Jaffe never gave an opinion as to whether Mr. Hackner was or was not disabled. Conceitedly, Dr. Jaffe is a physician who is licensed to practice medicine in all fields. But his opinion simply does not have credibility, credence, or weight in this context, because Dr. Jaffe has no direct opinion with regard to Mr. Hackner's physical impairment. In fact, Dr. Jaffe suggested it was a psychiatric case and suggested that there be deference given to Dr. Cherniak, and Dr. Cherniak's report was very strongly indicative of the fact that there was no longer a psychiatric condition, but in fact there was a significant physical condition that Hartford had overlooked. We do not believe that Hartford should have been granted discretion in this case. We believe that there is absolutely no reason for discretion to have been granted. This court ruled earlier this year in the Wallace case that an insurance company making a benefits decision about whether somebody is entitled to disability benefits or not is not engaged in a fiduciary act. And based on the Supreme Court's ruling in the Firestone case, only a fiduciary making a fiduciary decision is entitled to deference. But even if the court finds that the Hartford language is sufficient, and even if this court should disagree with the Wallace panel's decision, the fact of the matter is that Hartford's conflict of interest is so palpable in this case that it requires that this court disregard Hartford's decision and overturn the summary judgment ruling of the court below. There are three separate indicia of conflict of interest in this case. First, there was no independent review. The Heitschu case requires, and in fact the Heitschu case demonstrates, the need for an independent review. In the Heitschu case, AIG Life had contracted with an independent organization, which in turn contracted with an independent physician to evaluate the case. Dr. Kaza, in this case, signed his report, Associate Medical Director for the Hartford. And when Mr. Hackner appealed, Dr. Kaza did not defer to perhaps an independent reviewer. Dr. Kaza merely reviewed his own findings. Obviously a situation where he was not going to change his mind, and he merely deferred to his own initial opinions in the case. Secondly, and related to that, is Dr. Kaza rubber stamped his own opinion. And third, this case reflects some extremely suspicious circumstances. We recognize that the regular case from the Ninth Circuit was vacated by the Supreme Court after the Nord decision. But the language in the regular case that talks about a sudden and thinly supported departure from the prevailing diagnosis requires this court to take a very hard look at what Hartford did in this case. Mr. Hackner had been on disability since 1997. As I pointed out at the beginning of the argument, his condition was not getting better. It was getting worse. He suffered from physical ailments that were degenerative and chronic in nature. They were not going to get better. His pain complaints were increasing. Dr. Hudgens, the sole piece of evidence that the defendant can point to, had indicated in his last report of March 2000 that Mr. Hackner was too disabled to even continue with too much pain due to his shoulders, which had been operated on twice, to continue in physical therapy. If he was in too much pain to continue in physical therapy, it's extremely doubtful that Mr. Hackner could possibly have engaged in sustained work activity.
You're into your rebuttal time. I just didn't know if you recognize that.
Unless the court has any further questions, I'll save my remaining time. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel, I also would like to state for the record that I believe this perhaps is the first time that our firm has appeared before the Seventh Circuit, so I'm proud to say this is Donald Murday of Chittenden, Murday & Novotny appearing on behalf of the defendants' appellees, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here this morning.
Well, we're happy to have both you and Mr. Spotsky.
Thank you. At the risk of being somewhat redundant, I would like to say that Judge Darris spent a great deal of time reviewing the record, and as this panel knows, the administrative record is the record upon which the claims examiner makes the decision, and is also the extent of the evidence that any reviewing judge would look to in determining whether the decision of the claims examiner was arbitrary and capricious.
Other than the opinion of Dr. Hudgens as to Mr. Heckner's abilities in February of 2000, is Dr. Jaffe's opinion the only other evidence you rely on by a doctor who actually examined Mr. Heckner? And is there any evidence in the record that Dr. Jaffe treated him for his orthopedic and neurologic impairments as opposed to being a family doctor who handled more routine matters such as the flu?
Your Honor, if I can take that in context, Mr. Dabosky informed the court, and he is correct in saying that the first 2 years of this policy, Mr. Heckner was disabled as a result of a mental infirmity. Not a physical infirmity, a mental infirmity. And for that 2 year period, he was deemed disabled. And during that period of time, Your Honor, there were problems that arose with regard to Mr. Hackner's. I believe he had a heart attack, which contributed to his disability. And then also, toward the end of that 2 year period, was complaining of shoulder problems. And from that point forward, Your Honor, the disability was continued on discrete periods of time. It's important, and I know Mr. Dabosky knows this, but obviously it's very important. We're not talking about a situation here where someone is deemed totally disabled and will be disabled for the rest of their life. This is a condition that can be treated, and once treated, someone can return to work. Also, the other important point to note, Your Honor, is that this went from an ONOC policy for the first two years, where in order to be disabled, it was disabled from his own occupation to an ENIOC policy after the 2 year period. And so, in beyond the 2 year period, when it's now a physical infirmity that's causing the disability, it's the shoulder impairment and problems with the shoulder. And if the record is clear.
Well, that's not really fair, because specifically you rely on a report from February of 2000, 6 months prior to the denial, and that fails to consider an MRI in March 2000 that shows degenerative changes in the lumbar spine, including the bulging discs and a similar diagnosis in March of 2000 by Dr. Hudgens of posterior element low back pain and a similar diagnosis by the physical therapist, along with evidence that he was unable to tolerate the exercise program that was prescribed. And, you know, given that low back pain can impact the ability of a person to remain sedentary for long stretches of time, how is the February 2000 status relevant at all to his August 2000 abilities? That's what I cannot get my arms around.
Your Honor, if I may address that. In the beginning of the summer of 2000, Mr. Hacker, as the record is clear, throughout the course of his disability, was attempting going on interviews, attending job fairs, conducting a consulting business. I disagree with the description that Mr. Dabosky used in describing the consulting business. It was a consulting business where revenue was generated. He clearly was operating as a consultant, clearly working, Your Honor. In the summer of 2000, Mr. Hacker comes to Hartford again, as he did throughout the period of disability, and said, you know, I need you to help me. I need some accommodations to help me place a job. I need a new chair. I need new equipment. I need a membership to a health club. I need a computer. All of these things. And so Hartford said, all right, well, he keeps coming back to us and asking us for adaptive equipment. What should we do? The claims examiner then went to a clinical specialist and said, can you go out there and determine what it is that we can do to assist this individual? That claims or the clinical specialist went out, met with Mr. Hacker, determined that he, in fact, was able to do sedentary occupation. Based on that, they go back to Hartford, and again, Your Honor, I again emphasize that we're operating under an arbitrary and capricious standard. Whether the decision was reasonable.
They and go so back. That, was that by Dr. Kazda? There's so many doctors.
Dr. Kazda was brought into the mix after the initial termination of the benefits, and hopefully I'll get to that, Your
All
Honor.
Right.
So in the course of the handling of the claim, Justice Rovner, the materials come back to Hartford. Hartford then contacts the orthopedic doctor, Dr. Palutsis, and also, I believe, Dr. Grober. The record will show that both of the orthopods were contacted. Both of the orthopods said, we're going to defer to the doctor who is handling the physical therapy and the maintenance. We're going to defer to that doctor. So Hartford contacts that doctor, Dr. Hutchkins, and Dr. Hutchkins says, yes, I believe he is able to do sedentary work. Yes, I believe that. All right? So they contacted the orthopods who were treating him, and the orthopods said, you know what, we're going to defer. Now, counsel says, well, you shouldn't have relied on the secretary coming forward and giving that opinion. I think it's very important to note that there was no evidence from Dr. Hutchins, no evidence from Dr. Jaffe that they didn't stand by the statements that they made. There was no countervailing evidence. The only evidence they have is the evidence from Dr. Blomsky, who respectfully to counsel was retained by counsel after the termination and examined Mr. Hackner. And counsel says, well, Dr. Kazda is somebody whose credibility is suspect because he's employed by the Hartford. I would say that the credibility of any physician hired post-termination by counsel to render an opinion, I think their credibility is suspect
well,
as well.
Well, but surely you will concede that there is an abundance of evidence in this record of his pain in shoulders, hands, hips, knees, and objective evidence relating to those complaints, including, you know, the fact that the man has degenerative changes in his spine and bulging discs, osteoarthritis.
Your Honor, the record is clear that Mr. Hackner himself indicated that he had no pain sitting. There is evidence in the record that he stated that himself to the claims examiner. This wasn't something that the claims examiner just pulled out of thin air and said, all of a sudden he's able to do this. This is something that he indicated he was able to do. It was something that the claims examiner went to the orthopods, and the orthopod said, talk to this doctor, his physical therapy and maintenance doctor. That doctor says, yes, he can do sedentary occupation. They then went to the attending physician, Dr. Jaffe, and said, Dr. Jaffe, what do you think? Dr. Jaffe says, I know of no physical incapability of this individual to do a sedentary occupation. So they went to the orthopods, they went to the doctor who handled the physical therapy and the maintenance, they went to the internist who was treating, who has been identified as the attending physician. All of them said he can do sedentary occupation. At that point in time, they went and conducted some analysis to determine what type of occupations Mr. Hackner would be able to do and came up with occupations that would show them either making as much or more than he previously made.
But you see, what I have a problem with is that if with Hartford denying benefits that is based on evidence that's 6 months old, yet arguing that it need not consider evidence of tests conducted after the disability decision unless it relates to his condition at the time of that decision.
Your Honor, I disagree that it was relying on evidence that was 6 months old. It contacted Dr. Hutchins at the time in I believe July or August of 2000 and inquired of that doctor at that time whether he believed that Mr. Hackner could perform sedentary activity.
He but he hadn't yet. Seen him, had he?
That's correct, Your Honor. But,
so, but you're relying on this six-month-old evidence.
But Your Honor, there's nothing in his record to show that he could. And then they went to Dr. Jaffe. They went to Dr. Jaffe, who he identified as his attending physician, and said, Dr. Jaffe, do you know of any reason? Your Honor, they went, in my mind, they were more than reasonable in their approach. They worked the entire time with the claimant. They dealt with all of his physicians. They inquired of the physicians as to whether they believed that he could do sedentary work. They all informed them that, yes, in fact, they could. Was it a reasonable decision? Without question. Was it arbitrary and capricious? I say emphatically no. And I would ask that this panel review the record, review the decision of Judge Dara, see what he went through. He spent 13 pages going through the analysis of the medical records. 13 pages or more going through that and determining that the decision that was made by Hartford was not arbitrary and capricious. And I ask that this panel affirm Judge Dara's decision. It was just, it was proper, it was correct.
Thank you, Mr. Murdaugh. Mr. Dabowski, how much time? Take a couple of minutes.
We submit just the opposite of what Mr. Murdaugh just contended. This was not a reasonable decision. This was an arbitrary and capricious decision. Hartford engaged in absolutely no independent review. What Hartford did was they engaged in ambush and surprise. Hartford went to the doctors and picked them off one at a time without considering Barry Hackner's impairments in combination. Hartford could have had Mr. Hackner examined by an independent doctor as one of its own nurse consultants had recommended. And the fact is, Hartford did not even have a doctor consider all of the evidence in this case until after the initial termination was made. This case, in addition to Govindarajan, bears a tremendous resemblance to the Hawkins versus First Union case decided just a few months ago. Counsel argued in his brief that chronic pain is not a sufficient basis for disability. Hawkins proves to the contrary. And for that reason, we're asking that this court engage in a de novo review of the summary judgment proceedings below, reverse Judge Dara's decision, and enter judgment for Barry Hackner. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dabowski, and thank you, Mr. Murdaugh, and the case will be taken under advisement.